spiritual, because he is essentially a free individualist. This is what boys, those natural judges of the matter, have been trying to mutter for centuries, when fobbed off with lives of missionaries or generals, where varied incident in vain ornaments an essentially unadventurous character. A feat, a danger, a surprise. These are bonbons adventure showers on those who follow her cult with a single mind. Their occurrence, even repeated, does not constitute a life of adventure. Here also we renounce utterly the comfort of Mr. Kipling, who believes commuting and soldiering in the British Army and buying English country houses adventurous, and Mr. Chesterton, who is certain that a long walk on Sunday and a glass of beer set one spiritually in the company of Alexander and Captain Kidd and Cagliostro. All this amiable misconception is as touching as the children's wish for a good pirate, for bloodshed in which no one gets hurt, and roulette with haricot beans. Tom Sawyer knew better. The adventurer is an outlaw. Adventure must start with running away from home. But in the mere fact that the essentially socially minded, the good, the kind, and the respectable long to adopt the adventurer, it is clear that the opposition set between adventure and order, between the adventurer and society, is not exterior to humanity, but an inner antithesis which divides our will. The adventurer is within us, and he contests for our favour with the social man we are obliged to be. These two sorts of life are incompatibles. One we hanker after, the other we are obliged to. There is no other conflict so deep and bitter as this, whatever the pious say, for it derives from the very constitutions of human life which so painfully separate us from all other beings. We, like the eagles, were born to be free, yet we are obliged, in order to live at all, to make a cage of laws for ourselves and to stand on the perch. We are born as wasteful and unremorseful as tigers. We are obliged to be thrifty, or starve, or freeze. We are born to wander and cursed to stay and dig. And so, the adventurous life is our first choice. Any baby that can walk is a splendid and typical adventurer. If they had the power as they have the will, what exploits and crimes would they not commit? We are born adventurers, and the love of adventures never leaves us till we are very old. Old, timid men, in whose interest it is that adventure should quite die out. This is why all the poets are on one side and all the laws on the other. For laws are made by, and usually for, old men. It is this double-mindedness of humanity that prevents a clear social excommunication of the adventurer. When he appears in the flesh, indeed, he can hope for no mercy. Adventure is a hard life, as these 12 cases will remind you. The moment one of these truants breaks loose, he has to fight the whole weight of things as they are, the laws, and that indefinite, smothering aura that surrounds the laws, that we call morals, the family, that is the microcosm and whiplash of society, and the dead weight of all the possessors, across whose interwoven rights the road to freedom lies. If he fails, he is a mere criminal. One third of